European American Evangelistic Crusades welcomes you to this teaching presentation. This teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell was recorded at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. For questions regarding this teaching, or for a catalog of teaching tapes, or for a teaching magazine called The Dove, visit us at www.eaec.org. And now, let us begin our teaching with Pastor John S. Terrell.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on January 9th, 2000. And we're going to go back now to Earth, God's University of Faith, and we're going to go and study subject after subject. And today is going to be a subject that most of you have no problems with at all. Truth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise right now for these moments you've given us today. And Father, we just ask you right now, open the Word, minister to us, give us understanding, Father God, so that we can live and live victorious. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're coming down, we're going to begin today with Galatians chapter 6. That's Galatians, the 6th chapter, and we're going to be talking about a forgotten law of God. God has not forgotten it, but men have. It's a spiritual law of God, and it's very important to understand that. God has a law. He has mandated something by studying the University of Faith, but God has given man a free will to succeed or fail. Let's read Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall have the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall have the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. God has given us a free will. In socialism, the socialistic thinking, humanistic thinking is this: we must help people not to fail. God is simply giving us the opportunity to either succeed or to fail. But if we choose to fail, God will not bail us out. He will let us fail. We need to let that sink in. When we ask God for forgiveness, He will forgive us. He will begin to work in our lives. But I want you to see something here, very, very important. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. God will forgive our sins. He will cleanse us. He will begin a new life. But the consequences we have to reap, we have to receive them. The pain will be there for a season. And we need to understand that. When we make decisions, we need to understand the consequences, what it will cost us. This morning, I had a hungry cop in Lincoln that was looking for a bonus. He must have had a bad night. He was sitting just outside Lincoln, his lights off, and I usually try to keep the speed law, so I was going for 65, slowing down, and I saw this officer sitting in his car. So I says, well, praise the Lord. When I passed him, and I saw his radar, because I saw his light in the mirror, I was down to 55. I was very surprised when I saw him say, just pull right up behind me. And then he sped up, and I was expecting to see the lights, but I saw no lights. Then I got a 35-mile zone, a 25-mile zone, and I drove like an old lady going to Sunday school. He followed me all the way through that town. He followed me to the city limit when he made a U-turn on a freeway, which is illegal. Someone should tell him that. And I thought about, that's how the devil stalks us. You see, he's just watching us to make a mistake so he can hit us. Well, praise the Lord, I didn't break the law, so he didn't get a bonus on me. I'm sure he's looking for more bonuses. He must be hungry for a bonus. But he says, be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he sows to the flesh, and the flesh will corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If we sow in the Spirit, we're going to have some good crop. If we sow in the flesh, we're going to have some bad crop. And then he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This is a law, a spiritual law of God. And God has given us the opportunity to succeed or to fail. You and I hold the key in our lives. Now, when you have somebody in the congregation end up in prison, a lot of people says, well, what kind of church is that? What kind of a pastor is it? You got, you know, somebody's congregation locked up. Well, God got some of his people locked up too, so I just say I'm good company with God. But you see, I really want to bring home a point today. One of the men that I lost to prison, he's been gone now for more than 10 years. He was anointed. He could play the guitar. He had the gift of writing music. But he had no patience. It was now this, now that, this and that. And it said, God's working on your patience. I told him, but he said, some of the things that you need to do in your life in order to progress. How long does it take to flip somebody out? This particular guy got flipped out on a Friday morning. Friday morning, he got up with his wife. She went to work. He was not working at the time. Got off to work, sat down with a guitar, and God gave him a beautiful praise and worship song that he just wrote down on a piece of paper, and he played it, called me up, and he said, you got to hear this song. And he played it, and I said, that's beautiful. 2 hours later, he was loaded with drugs. And he took off on a crime spree. And 24 hours later, he was locked up in a jail. That quick. I never forget because I took him in to turn him in. He tried to commit suicide. I'm not going through the details there. And in the car, he said, John, He said, Pastor John, he said, I want you to take this belt and burn it. And he took his belt off his pants. He said, I don't want to go into jail with that belt. He said, it's like a snake. He said, I used it too many times to wrap around my arm to get the veins up and shoot up. It's a curse. And I took the belt and I destroyed it. Why is it that some of us will only hear after it is too late? Why is it that for some reason we are so dense? As I bring back the old fish story, you know, the devil only got the certain line. He's got the same old rotten bait, and it's a hook in each bait. And why is it that every time we go to that old stinking hook and bite the same stinking bait, and then we spit it out and we can't because we are cooked? God's given a chance to succeed or fail. Now I want to move into the subject for today. Truth. Look at my list now. This is a subject that will determine success or failure in all of the classes given in God's University of Faith. I want you to hear that now. If you do not have truth, if you do not walk in truth, if you are not living truth, you're going to fail in every other subject. Truth is an absolute. And you must have that down, Pat. Truth is a cornerstone for the life of a believer in Christ. Truth is the cornerstone in your life. Turn to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John. Chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was a light on man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, his name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men for him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world we were not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, and Jesus is the Word. He was with God, and Jesus was God. It begins with Jesus Christ. As Christians, we cannot compromise. Our faith is built upon one concept: the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Old Testament, is also Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the Creator. And only through Him can man be redeemed, forgiven, washed in the blood, born again, and live forever with God in heaven. That's truth. That's biblical truth. That's a Christian faith in one little sentence. We cannot deviate from that. Sure, Jewish rabbis are nice people. They are not bad people as that. They are caring. I'm sure the rabbis do a lot of good in their congregations, helping people out. But a rabbi will lead somebody to hell. Period. Sure, Catholic priests are nice. They feed the poor. They do a lot of good stuff. But a Catholic priest, he's not born again, he's going to lead people to hell. The same goes for the Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists. All of these people, they can be nice. They are humans. We work together for peace. But eventually, all these leaders will lead their congregation straight to hell and an eternity in a lake of fire, period. Will you tell them that? Just what I said make me an anti-Semitic. Oh boy, talk about Jewish rabbis. That's truth. It begins with Jesus. Now turn to John 14. The Gospel of John 14. I've read the first few verses here. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am there, you may also be. And when I go, you know, on the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? Jesus unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You and I should not call ourselves Christians if we are not walking in truth. If you've got a lying tongue, then don't call yourself a Christian. Because as a Christian, we cannot lie. Will you slip from time to time? Sure will. But we ask God quickly for forgiveness. Then turn back to John chapter 4. The Gospel of John, the fourth chapter. John chapter 4. I'll be reading this. In verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, who is that says to you, give me drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. He was talking to a woman who was a whore, prostitute. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, the well is deep, from whence then have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank of himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water spring up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come hither. The woman answered, said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have said, well said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and he whom you now has is not your husband. in that you said you truly. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. You say that in Jerusalem it is a place men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when we shall meet in this mountain, not Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you come to church today and you have some lies in your life, sure you can sing the songs, but there's no anointing. Sure you can lift your hands and pray to God, but there's no anointing. We haven't understood that. In many of our bigger churches, we have worked up worship teams. We have musicians. We have background tapes. You need the Holy Ghost to get something swinging in those churches. I'm not saying all churches are bad. I'm simply saying there's a lot of churches are rattling in empty air because they don't have the truth and the spirit. And the music does not go beyond the ceiling. The prayers fall flat down. Because there is iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayers or hear your song. We need to know that. You must worship God in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And then turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Isn't that amazing? You want everyone else to tell you the truth. You get really upset when somebody lies to you. But we're not that careful ourselves with others. In 1 John chapter 1, let's just read. That which was from the beginning, which you have heard, which you have seen with eyes, which you have looked upon, our hands have handled, are the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was in the Father, and was manifested unto us. That we have seen and heard declared to you, that you also have fellowship with us, and truly have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And if it is right unto you that you join them before, this is a message we have heard of Him and declared to you, that God is light. Amen. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and know the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Look at this. If we are walking in the light, not only do we have fellowship with Him, but with one another. It goes up and it goes horizontal. No wonder we have difficulty getting along because we're not truthful with one another. We fib too many times. But if you walk in the light, this is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God is light. You wonder why I'm so hard on television and movies. They're destructive because they are built upon lie and deception. A lot of jokes and stuff is built upon lie and deception. I was flipping for one news channel. They went to commercial and I flipped over to another one, and I happened to stop at one channel and I stopped for another 15 seconds. And it was some kind of a stupid sitcom. And this woman was standing, she had a beeper, and the beeper got off, she went up to the phone, and she said, "Mother, I told you, don't call me and ask for an apple recipe, I don't want to hear it!" And then she said, "I gave it a beep in case you are dying, call me!" And then she came back and says, "Oh, Mother, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean for you to die. I didn't mean for you to die." She hung up. And then she cursed and said, "Oh, yes, I meant that." And you would hear a canned laughter in the back. Now, listen to me. I just said, "Dear God, wash that out of me," and I got out of channel. But you see, this is what you see day in and day out on entertainment, lying, cheating, and it makes you dirty. It blows you. It's like you take a knife, and you take a knife and you hit it with rocks, and you carve it in all kind of signs, and the blade gets dull. God is light. And there's no darkness in them. To the Revelation. And so I put this in bold. I mean, I asked God to show how to lay this out. Liars are totally rejected in the kingdom of God. 21:8. That are fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake of burn for fire and burn from Jesus' second death. Then Revelation 22:15. For without their dogs, sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves, have you seen that? Whosoever loves and makes a lie. Liars are totally rejected in the kingdom of God. God cannot stand a liar. There is swift judgment when we lie. And you can see on people at time they lie, they're not doing too well, are they? There's sickness. Always upheaval. Always short of money. Always some kind of circumstance. How should we live? God gave me 5 points. You must be truthful to God with your feelings. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. You heard some of the testimonies here today. For people finally, they were truthful. They simply said, in adversity and pain, God met us. We needed it. David said this. This is after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, murdered her husband, lied and cheated. The prophet came and told him. And here's what David said. "Have mercy upon me, O God. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. You and I got to be truthful to God. We can't fool God. When you pray, you try to carefully say, okay, Father God, I want this little car over here, and so on. You might as well let it rip. If you've got something in your heart, you reach it anyway. You cannot pretend to God. Tell him if you got a problem with bitterness. If you got a problem with anger, tell him, God, I'm angry. God, I'm bitter. God, I'm messed up. I can't handle this. I can't pray, God. I need to be ministered to. Be honest. Don't put on a phony smile and says, oh, God, here I am. God knows that you're steaming your heart. Let it out. He can take it. And then confess it and say, God, I don't want to see my ugliness. Be honest with yourself. Keep a finger here. We're going to come back here. And turn me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to read just one little verse here. It says this. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. This is a commandment we went through. But you see, many of us do not really honor our fathers and mothers. We think they're stupid. We get upset with them. We tell them off. We are short-tempered. Do you think that's pleasing to God? You're not walking in truth. You got to be honest. We got to be truthful. Because you see, if we do not have a good report of people that love us in our homes, our wives and husbands and fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, if we do not have a good report, then we will have the report. Charity begins at home. Your mission will begin at home. Before you take on the world, make sure that you can minister to your mom and your dad, your brothers and sisters, your wife, your husband. Some of them might not be believers. Some of them might be what you call a drip. Well, if they do mock you, let them mock you because you're walking with God. Then you can say, fine, no problem. But don't let them catch you because you are guilty of what you're doing. Let me take you back to Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of the tender mercy brought out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have a sin and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Let's be totally honest here today, one another. All of us got a short temper. Some have shorter than others. But I want to tell you this, all of us got a temper. If you don't have a temper, we will have your funeral this afternoon. You're dead. We all got bad habits. Now in church, we don't show them. You want to be nice. They want to think of you as a saint. On your job, you try to conceal it because you want the paycheck. Even if the boss is nasty, you don't go up to the boss and say, hey boss, pop, take that. You want to do it. But you don't do it because you want the paycheck, right? So you control yourself. Now you come home. What do we do when we come home? We get uncivilized. We unload on the people we love the most. Your parents, your spouse, your children. And we simply can be downright rude at times, can't we? Are we going to be honest today? Now, is God pleased with that? No. We're two-faced. You and I need to say, Father God, help me to be kind and loving and patient to the person I love the most. My wife, my husband, my children, my mother, my dad, my sister, my brothers. Father God, help me, change me. We put out today from David Oaks a beautiful letter from him. It's called Change Me. Pick it up and read it. There's a little song we used to sing a long time ago. It's me, O Lord, it's me, O Lord, that stand in need of prayer, not somebody else. Be truthful to God with your feelings. Secondly, you must be truthful to yourself at all times. Excuses and procrastination is nothing less than lying to yourself. The alcoholic, oh yeah, we can peg them. There's the old alcoholic. Man, he's in a mess. Right? The drug addict, you might be a legal drug addict, you might be an illegal one. You might be obese, overweight. I'm not talking about somebody got a thyroid problem. But I'm talking about somebody that eats too many potato chips. Excuse the procrastination. We're living a life of lies. Let's sink down to rock bottom truth here today. Every one of us are busy. And this is, well, I don't have time to do this and time to do that and this and that. But I want you to say something. Whatever you like to do, you have time for that. In a given 24-hour period, whatever you like to do, you squeeze it in. Because you have an agenda, you will not do it. So you squeeze it in and you drop something else. Don't tell God you don't have time. Well, he will give you time. You understand that? Some will come on the door and knock. Now some people say, well, I'm not going to be arrested now. But God can simply do what he says. And let's turn there to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. And I've seen that happen. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. If you don't have the time, God will give you time. He might just take your hand and lay you down so hard that he breaks your leg. And you'll be laying there a long time, having time now when you didn't have time before. He can allow you to have a heart attack. He can allow something to hit your automobile. It's not going to kill you. But he will give you time. And then you say, oh God, I should have done this or that. He said, yep. Why did I do it? I don't know. But now you got the time. Be truthful. Excuses and procrastination is nothing less than lying to yourself. If we do not do something we know we should do, it's a lie. Don't lie. The reason we got a problem with overweight is that you simply have two big hands. And your food trap is open too long. And you're stuffing yourself. If you're smoking, don't blame it on the devil who puts a cigarette up in your mouth. Not your dog, you do. You see innocent Corinthians, oh, I can't do this, I have a nervous breakdown, I have this and that. Well, have a nervous breakdown and let God heal you. Learn to be truthful to yourself. You know, why does an alcoholic drink, or why does a drug addict take drugs? I never yet, and I met a lot of people, I never yet met the person say, man, I love the taste of booze. I never had. My drinking, it tasted so rotten on it that my first drink, I simply did like this, and bolted one down so I would get my taste buds out of the way. You drink because you don't want to face reality. You take a drug because you want to escape reality. Reality is to simply say, I'm going to meet it head on. Truth. Thirdly, you must be truthful to your family. Are we truthful to the family? Do you really tell your wife and your husband, your mother and father, your best sisters, your real motives? How many times, and let's just be downright honest here today. I've done this when I was younger, before I was saved. Walked with God. I wanted something for my brother. I manipulated him. I knew how to massage him. I would build him up. I would do all kind of things. He was stupid enough in the beginning to not see it. I would do what I wanted. And then he got smart. And he said, what do you want now? Have you ever been there? Yeah, we've been there, all of us. You see, that's not being truthful. If you need something, go up and say, hey, I need this. Don't go to somebody up and say, have you ever seen a salesman do this? Hi, I really like your suit. Man, you know, you really got with it. And they have all kind of attributes, and you know they don't mean a word. They simply butter you up, loosen you up a little bit so they can sell you the stuff. Be truthful. Let people know, yes, I need some money. Yeah, I'm calling you for the reason I need some money. Yes, I'm here today because I want you to come and help me. No, I'm not going to massage your back. I just want you to help me. If you walk in truth, life will be totally uncomplicated. And then, number four, you must be truthful in all areas of your life. Not cheating in business. Not lying to the IRS. Not seeing about having two sets of books in your business. Not having your property proper license insured. Not paying your bills or walking away from your debts. Let me spend some time on this. You know, a lot of people, businessmen, and we have some in this church, we got numbers, you know what I'm talking about. They run two books. You know, it is so easy to pay somebody in cash. Oh, we're not going to pay state disability. We're not going to pay taxes overhead. You know, I just pay you in cash. If somebody comes up and pays you in cash, you want to become a liar. You tell a person, no, sir. If you cannot pay me honestly, I will not work for you. Period. You know he's cheating. How much is truth worth? If you can save $100, is that how much your integrity is worth? $100? Now, April the 15th coming, it's going to be the 17th this year. A lot of Christians are going to sit down and lie. Going to lie a few dollars here and there. They are going to sell their integrity for a few lousy dollars. If you work for somebody and you know they're cheating, then you are a liar too. Open books, clear roads, walk in the light, no cheating, if you want to be blessed by God. If you don't have your automobile properly licensed, you're a liar. You're lying every time you drive on that road because you're trying to conceive, I haven't paid my license fee. If you operate without having proper insurance, you're a liar. And you're jeopardizing somebody else because you hit somebody else and you have no insurance, you can't afford to pay it, which means you're stealing from them. We need to apply this to every area of our life. Now, God is never going to bring you to a place where you cannot pay your bills and have your function because God is not double-minded. The devil is. We need to walk in the light. Some people file bankruptcy. If you have to, you do it. But then you make a vow that when I come back up, even if I don't have to, I will pay every creditor back. Because if you file bankruptcy and you walk away from it, you stole that money. You can file it, and then you repay it. And you walk in the light. Don't walk away from your debts. Many times we borrow money from people, we can't pay it back, we end our function, we don't want to talk to them anymore, we simply disappear. We must be truthful in all areas of our lives. There can't be any cheating, none whatsoever. And then fifthly, many Christians do not mean to lie. But when they hear promises which are not kept, it becomes a lie. A Christian should only give a promise if he knows that he can and wants to honor that promise. You know what I learned? Most people give what I call wishful promises. I wish to promise you that, but I know I'm not going to be making it. You're lying. Shut your mouth. Don't promise. Don't tell them you're going to do this or that. Don't tell them you'll be there. You're going to have to move or whatever it is. Simply says, I can't. Sorry, pal. I'd like to, but I can't. Be honest. If you are arrested, you're forgiven. If you die, you promise they'll be forgiven. But if you give a promise, you keep it. You keep it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, you know, so as a pastor, the greatest joy I have when somebody talks to me about you, they say, I see change in that person. I see great growth. But somebody talks about you, this is, well, I see nothing but strife and problems. I feel sad and grieved. So does God. In 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past with other people, but not a people of God, which did not obtain mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, stranger and pilgrim, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having a conversation, what? Honest among the Gentiles, that words that speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Your conversation should be honest in everything. Submit yourself to every order from a man for Lord's sake. Whether it be to the King as supreme, or to governors unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well doing you might put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using liberty for cloak and maliciousness, but the servant of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Serve your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you rebuff with your fault, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. For you will hear it when you call, because Christ also suffered us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Remember the song we sang this morning, to be like Jesus, and we sang it. I could see you sing it. Well, here's what it means. It means you walk in the light in honesty. This last few weeks have been kind of hard physically for myself. And a few weeks ago, we had given a promise to help somebody to move. And I was on the assumption that we had maybe a pickup load to move. And then when I got to the place, I found out that I had four pickup loads to move. And it was a situation we had to help out. Now, this is, you say, would you have integrity? Was I tired? Yes. Was I hungry? Mm-hmm. Did I want to go home and sleep? Yes. Was it cold? Yeah. Did I have a lot of help? No. We finished. We were there until late that night. Why did I do that? Because I want to go walk and live in the truth. I'm not saying that I'm a good person, but I want to be in the light. I'd give my word. And with God's help, we kept that word. You see, a lot of us are what I call fair weather Christians. If it feels good, smells right, doesn't cost me a whole lot, yeah, I help out. But if it costs you sweat, blood, and tears, precious sleep, and money, you find the flakes, they simply fly away in the wind. You want to be solid. You are the anchor of the rock. Then turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, and the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried over every wind and doctrine by the strength of men and cunning craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. You don't have to walk up to somebody and say, man, that is an ugly dress you got. You might be telling the truth, but no one asked you for your opinion. And it's not in love. Don't ask me about your clothes and your stuff. I will tell you the truth. Usually the way I handle it is this. I says, well, it might not be my taste. And, you know, we got different tastes and so on. And they said, you don't like it. I said, don't push me. Well, I will tell you. But we don't have to walk around and volunteer information that is not needed. But we walk in love and in truth. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in their vanity of their mind, having their understanding dark, be alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of that in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You want to walk like the heathens. This chapter is wonderful. Look in verse number 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him the stone steal no more, but run in the labor, work with his hand to fill which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edify, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you. You do fine in church. We're doing good here today. I didn't see anyone slug anyone here today. We're doing good. You're doing good in many other places. But why would you say, Father God, help me now to conquer my anger, my bitterness, my wrath, my lying tongue in my home with my loved ones? Help me, Father God, that I can come to the place that 24 hours a day you're going to have to sleep, but all the time you're awake, if you're with your family or with strangers, you sound the same. You don't want to be like a trumpet that sounds beautiful at the concerts, and when you're home it's like, meow! You want to sound pretty all the time. Can I challenge you to work on that? And then Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. You know, it's easy to get offended, isn't it? Doesn't take long. You just walk down the street and somebody look at you. Ah, you looked at me. I'm offended. The devil knows how to set us up. In Matthew 6, 19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust is corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. If your eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in your dark, be darkness. How great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, whereas he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For where your treasure is, that we heart be also. Either we walk in the light, or we walk in darkness. How do you walk? Only you can tell. My final scripture is in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua, the 24th chapter. You must ask, well, why do I have so many problems? Only when you get problems can you solve them. And I believe that a lot of our problems will disappear if we can conquer our home situation. Well, you are as sweet at home as you are with somebody else. I would say you're then ready to go to be with Jesus. In Joshua 24, verse number 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in what? Sincerity. And in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and eat to serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. What are the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood? Or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to challenge you to something here today. Do a survey this week. Select someone close to you that knows you really well, sees you all the time, and say this. Rate me. Give me a rating. Am I walking in truth? Do I complain a lot? Am I angry a lot? Do I scream a lot? You see the bumper stickers? How is my driving? Call 1-800. You ever seen that? No, seriously. Do that. Ask somebody that knows you well, please rate me. I'm not going to get angry, but give me your total honest opinion. How do you see me? And if somebody says, I see you nothing but whining and crying and complaining all the time. Don't get mad. Say, thank you. I'm going to be working on that now. If somebody says, well, I see you, you ever fly off the handle, you're always ready to fight to this and that. Say, thank you. I'm going to change that. Ask your wife, how do you really see me? Ask your husband, how do you really see me? Is that little, nice little thing that you're safe to use a husband? Well, you can be pretty nasty at times. Don't go. But simply says, okay, I eat that. I'm going to work on that. This is honesty. This is where we can progress. Because if you take an artist, a figure skater, a sports person, whatever it is, what does he want the coach to tell him? Tell me if I make mistakes. He doesn't want the coach to say, oh, you're doing great, you're doing great, you're doing great. He makes mistake after mistake after mistake. He wants to find out, what am I doing wrong? So I can correct it, right? And then you can excel. So begin. This week is say, I'm going to take a survey and I'm going to ask somebody to rate me because I want to know how I really am. Because you see, we do not see ourselves. I think I'm a pretty decent guy, but I know better. I know I got my moments. And I know that the moments I cry out, says, oh God, how can I do that? We need the blood of Jesus. Let me read again this verse now. But as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. So he said this, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose today how you will live. Now, I have a joke here. And the serpent said this, we were looking for earplugs, free earplugs. We want to give each person one earplug. Plop. To make sure it doesn't go in here and out there, you see. And it is so sad. I preach my heart out. We pray. We do things. And people say, yeah, it's pretty good, you know. And by the time you hit that door, the wind blows on you, and whew, it disappeared. What was the sermon about today, church? I don't know, but it was good. But I can't remember what it was. We need to give you an earplug and a brain massage. God is not speaking to those who didn't show up today. He's speaking to those of you here, either written by television or video, either written by audio. He's speaking to all of us. This is a time to say, Father God, I'm excited. I'm going to clean up. I'm going to clean up. And I'm going to get better. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you and praise you right now, Lord, for these moments we had here today. And Lord, I just pray right now, as I brought this teaching out of truth, God, you know that I'm just sinner just like anyone else. And I pray as a pastor, Father God, for this congregation. First, I pray for myself, Lord. Help me, Father God, to be as nice and sweet at home that I am in church and any other place. Help us to be truthful to ourselves, Lord. And we ask you, forgive us right now. Just cleanse us, Lord. Let the blood of Jesus wash us right now. And Father God, give us enough smarts that we're willing to turn and repent and seek your face and not be stubborn. So that, Lord, you can bless us abundantly. And I thank you, Lord, and I praise you right now. In Jesus' name. You that listen to me by video, audio cassette, can you pray? Yes, we just prayed with you. And here's what I want you to do. Just simply, you might not be saved. You say, well, I'm here. I'm not even saved. What do I do? Just ask God for forgiveness. Say, Father God, forgive me right now. Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And wash me with the blood of Jesus. I repent. I repent right now, Father God, in Jesus' name. And God will hear your prayer. Write us, call us. You got a telephone number on the screen or you have it on the audio cassette. But most of all, call on Jesus. And Jesus will touch you. May God richly bless you. Amen.